Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On NHL podcast, one-stop shop for all things hockey. I'm your host, Mike DiStefano from TSN 1050 Toronto Radio, also known as Al's brother on TSN's Overdrive. You can hit me up on Twitter at Mickey_Canuck. And I am joined by both of the brothers from Red Cape Sports Today, a YouTube sports card investing channel. We got the Beauvillier lover himself.
It's not true.
The Beauvillier lover himself,
Mitch Bouchard. I love my...
Yeah. And we've also got Bird here, who's a staple on this podcast, my co-host, Bird Bouchard, also joining us once again. And, you know, welcome everyone to December's Hockey Card Investing and Collecting Special. It's been a massive few weeks in the hockey card world. The release of the flagship set, Upper Deck Series 1, dropped here in mid-November. It's been a crazy couple of weeks. So we'll be talking about the release and some of the trends that we're all seeing in the set. We'll also be discussing how some of the cards that you can pick up ahead of the World Juniors, because some of these players have young guns that you're going to want to pick up, because I guarantee you they're going to go up real soon. So we'll give you some of those players to keep an eye on. Then we'll just be having an overall conversation about grading, because I feel like people need to know a couple of things when it comes to grading. I'm seeing way too many new people in the hobby just throwing away their money for nothing. So we'll touch on all of that. But Mitch and Bird, thanks so much for being able to join me. Mitch, you're brand new to the podcast, so more so you than Bird, since he's usually here anyways. But Mitch, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. And I listened to, I believe it was the first episode that Bird and you worked on. That was really cool. Bird, what do you find of in terms of the difference between doing a podcast and YouTube?
Podcast and YouTube. Honestly, I feel like podcast, at least what I hope so, is that it comes off as more genuine, more... This is exactly what it is. Like, there's not really any planning that goes into it. It's just three guys, in this case, three guys kind of around the table just talking about whatever we want to talk about. So it's much more laid back, and I'm hoping that the listeners get that vibe as well.
100%. I think it's just pretty much it's three guys, us three dudes, you know, you two brothers and I, sitting here just shooting the shit, having a good conversation, talking cards, man. And that's what we love. The three of us just love cards. And here on the Hockey Card Investing Podcast, we're going to have a good chat about the release of Series 1. Because, like I said, it dropped in mid-November, and it was insane. You guys spoke with Chris Carlin from Upper Deck Sports on your YouTube channel. I would recommend anybody go and check it out, Red Cape Sports on YouTube. They've got so much great content, not just hockey cards. They talk all sports cards. But they had Chris Carlin, who was, what was his title again? He was the
head of customer experience at Upper Deck.
Right. So you guys had him on and interviewed him and got his overall thoughts from Series 1. So really quickly, can you sum up what Chris Carlin was saying about Series 1? And then also just give me your overall thoughts on it.
Yeah, for sure. So overall, I think the best way to sum it up was, first and foremost, he is very excited for the release. They understood that they had an incredible opportunity to include Alexi Lafreniere in Series 1. So that is ultimately why they chose to go that route. It is, I believe, and he also believes, he and many others are actually the first time that a young gun is in the set as a young gun before stepping onto a game as a pro. So there was that. He also did acknowledge that some of the corners on the cards do have rounded edges. I don't think he was trying to shy away from that by any means, so kudos to him. And he also mentioned the program that they have available where they actually will trade in a card one-off for each other. And he also briefly spoke about retail, basically acknowledging as well that there is... you know, and again, because people can't necessarily see me if they're listening, but big air quotation marks, he did mention that there's an issue with retail in the flip game. So overall, that's basically what Chris Carlin said. Obviously, there's much more, but if you guys want to catch that, definitely I need to plug our YouTube channel at Red Cape Sports.
Yeah, 100%. Go check it out for the full conversation. And when you talk about retail and you talk about how crazy the release has been, I think it's just the fact that sports cards in general has been wild over the last couple of years. And Mitch, you yourself, like you weren't a big hockey card collector. So when this series dropped, I know you went out, you got yourself some product and you broke it open and you're chasing the young guns. You know, what made you get back into or get into hockey cards this year specifically when it really didn't really pique your interest in the past?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say it kind of stemmed from the whole hobby exploding, because last year I was starting to pick up, you know, basketball players for the most part, but then it kind of went into getting Austin Matthews and other big guys that I knew would come up this year. So yeah, I did pick up a box. I still got a hobby box sealed, so I might have to open up that sometime. But yeah, I think the whole reasoning for a lot of people getting into it is that hockey is a cool sport. It's still around. It's, you know, it's something very aggressive that I think people can kind of get their hands on, right? Compared to a lot of other sports, at least compared to baseball. You know, football is cool in that regard. But Alexei Lafreniere, a lot of people are excited. You know, we've seen, you know, the big jump in Zion Williamson, the Luka Doncic, two big players. And I think people are wanting to make a big hit with a superstar hockey player. Somebody has a lot of potential.
And you talk about Lafreniere and his card prices when it first dropped on opening day was insane. We saw it going for about $400. And, you know, if you're new to hockey card investing, you're a guy who comes over from a different sport, that may not look like a lot. But in terms of hockey cards, that's insane. Like, to put that into perspective, Austin Matthews, you can get his card for about $250. And if you wanted to get a Lafreniere, you had to shell out an extra $100, and the guy never even took a shift in the NHL. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely insane. Now, we've seen it drop down a little bit to about $200 and $250, but I'm going to ask you this question, Burr. Do you think that we're still going to see a drop here, or do you think this is pretty much where it should be settling in for the rest of the season, or at least until he plays?
See, that's just the question right there, right? When is he going to play? Right now, we still don't know when the NHL is going to happen, but what we do know is obviously he's not going to be competing in the World Junior. I feel like if he were to compete in the World Junior and tear it up, you know, we would potentially start to see that $300 to $350 price range again, but without the NHL letting us know, letting us fans know and us collectors when the season's going to start, I find that question really difficult to answer. I mean, obviously, no question, if they start the season in January and if an Alexei Lafreniere comes out in his first week and puts up great numbers, obviously, I believe we'll start to see that rise. But I don't believe that this is the bottom yet. I still feel like before the NHL season starts, it's going to drop a little bit more. I don't see it necessarily dropping below $200, but I do see a little bit of a drop. And then once the NHL season comes, it might start creeping up a bit again.
So a lot of the hardcore collectors, when the prices came out at $350, $400, they're all like, you guys are insane for buying at these prices. It's going to drop because it's what we see happen every single year. The only thing that I think is different this year as opposed to others is the fact that, you know, guys like Mitch are now into the hobby. And I think that the demand for this card is a lot higher than a majority of young guns in the past. Even a guy like Austin Matthews, who's now a superstar in the league, the demand for his young gun wasn't anywhere near what it is for Lafreniere right now. So at the time, you could get an Austin Matthews for about roughly like $150, I would say, during his rookie year. I can see Lafreniere definitely being more than that. And I think that this $200, $250, I personally believe that this is about where it's going to sit until he starts to get going. Now, if he gets injured or if he doesn't play well at the start, clearly that could affect the card pricing. But if he comes out firing like we expect to, I think this is pretty much going to be the price that you should be buying at right now, because I think it's only going to go up from here.
I agree. I did recently get one at $275. But one thing that got me about it, like that got me to buy it, was that, yeah, you know, it's a COVID card. It's a guy that's going to blow up, and the season is going to start soon. Not only that, but cards are at a different level. That's a fact. Like, look at Prism Football. They've never been this expensive. I mean, you go on Panini, and boxes are literally $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, depending on the brand that you're going to get. This was very obvious that the price was going to be high. It was a little bit higher than what I thought, but yeah, I don't see it going down, especially if you can get a good condition card. So the one I got has one imperfection. There's no rounded corners. It's pretty good. I would say it's probably an 8 or 9, give or take. And that's probably valued at about $300. Now, the big thing and the big gamble that you're going to get is, how is he going to perform? Is he going to get a goal his first, you know, time out on the ice? Is he going to get a hat trick within the first week? That is going – the thing is, if he plays well right away, it's never going to go down lower. Yeah. If he has a good first season, you're never going to get it at that price. So that's the gamble, in my opinion.
100%. And, you know, just so you guys know what it looks like, going to go ahead and show you. This is what the COVID card Alexi Lafreniere looks like. And why is it called a COVID card? Because, like you said, he's never had a shift in the NHL before, and he's never donned the Rangers sweater in an actual game. And if you missed the last podcast, we talked about it. Upper Deck literally took this kid and they went and they did a photo shoot, just tossed him into this jersey. And also, this is probably a good time to let the viewers know, because, you know, people who listen to this, I assume, are hockey card enthusiasts. And there was a big hoopla about why there was no number on the jersey. And actually, I found this out from Chris Carlin, from your boy from Upper Deck, and it was because he legitimately just hasn't picked a number yet. And I thought that was super interesting. So, you know, a COVID card, I think this is something that is going to be highly collectible in the future when you think back on it, that this is like almost a one of a kind. It looks kind of, you know, janky, but in due time, I think it'll be something that people really will want to put into their collections. And you talked about it too. So let's kind of veer off into that direction. The quality control of this product was piss poor. The amount of Lafreniers that I saw come out that had rounded corners was a disgrace to the hobby, quite frankly. Do you think that is something that is going to deter a lot of newer collectors from getting into hockey, when this was a good opportunity to try and spur new people into the hobby? Guys like Mitch, you're perfect to ask the question. Does that turn you off at all? Or do you think you're good with it?
I got one thing to say about it. That's going to make the PSA 10s that much more valuable.
For sure.
The fact that you have cards that aren't as easy to grade, getting the 10s, that's going to be a hot card. So imagine McDavid. I don't know the exact conditions, but I assume it might be harder to get 10s of, you know, Lafreniere.
So the interesting thing about that is I've seen people talking about how there's been some really generous 9.5s being given out by BGS on a lot of these cards that are rounded. And I don't like that. And this is, we're going to have a more overarching conversation about grading.
That's an episode in its own.
It is, but we're going to talk about that. We're going to have a bigger conversation later in the episode, but just because you brought it up with the Lafreniere, you talk about the PSA 10s and the BGS 9.5s. It seems like the rounded corners aren't really being factored into some of these grades. And for me, that bothers me, because I was lucky enough to get one that actually has decent corners. And if I'm not going to benefit from it because it's you know, more rare to have a sharp cornered Lafreniere, that bothers me.
I think the number one thing, and, you know, of course, Chris Carlin touched on this a little bit, and, you know, I'm definitely not trying to speak for him, but one of the things that grading companies do consider when grading are things that happened along the creation of the card on the line. So if there was an issue, and if it hits that threshold of 90%, I'm just making up this number, but if 90% of the cards all have the same defect, that is something that when it comes to grading, the graders tend to know, hey, you know what, 95% of these cards or whatever the number is have this exact issue, and they kind of let it slide. That is what I've been told numerous times from numerous different people who grade for multiple different companies. And I don't know. And I mean, obviously I don't want to give everything away until we get to that segment, but that's just something that I've been told. So
yeah, we'll get into it a little bit more, but I just wanted to bring that up quickly since we were on that topic. So let's chat a little bit about some of the cards or some of the big cards that people are after, the top five young guns that are selling. You and I on the last podcast talked about the top five cards that we thought would be big sellers. A majority of them have made this list, but there's a couple here. There's a couple here that kind of came out of nowhere, to be honest with you, or that I didn't think of. I didn't say they didn't come out of nowhere. I just didn't think of them. Hmm. So number one, obviously, Alexis Lafreniere. You can right now, his card's going for around started at like 350. You can get it for about $250. The second card, can you guess it?
I want to say Bowen Byram.
No, Bowen Byram really? Is third. It is not Joseph Wall. It is his teammate, Nicholas Robertson.
Okay, that was my next guess.
Yes, of course. I hate
that card does not look good, in my opinion. That's worse than the Alexi card.
Have you seen his – okay, have you seen the canvas, though?
Of Alexi, yeah.
No, have you seen the canvas of Nick Robertson?
No, is it good?
I literally had it right here, and why can't I – here it is. So, yeah, so I opened up the canvas, too. Look how sweet that is.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
That's pretty cool.
That's a pretty sweet one. And again, this is going for about $30 to $35 online. So Nick Robertson comes in as your second one, which both of us had as our number one and number two was Lafreniere and Robertson.
Yep.
Bowen Byram did come in at number three, the defenseman out of Colorado. You can get his card now. It's going for about $20 to $25. Connor McMichael of the Washington Capitals, I had him as my fifth rated guy. He comes in at number four, about $15 to $20. And then Peyton Krebs rounds out our top five list right now. Again, a guy who's going for about $15 to $20. All of these, of course, in Canadian dollars. That is, if you live in America, you're getting yourself a sweet discount on some of this stuff once you get it back over the border. So let's move on and have a conversation about the World Juniors, because there are some cards that are going to be affected in the World Juniors. One of those is kind of Alexis Lafreniere, because we were under the impression that he was going to play at the World Juniors for Team Canada. And the New York Rangers came out and said, let's hold up for a moment. We're not going to send him. We want him to stay in New York. We want him to be training and be ready to go for his first NHL camp. We think he's a big part of our team, and we want him to be ready to go for us and not risk him getting hurt. Do you think that that might affect his card prices, or does that maybe lose potential value if you were hoping for him to perform to have that card go up?
Honestly, I kind of alluded to earlier on in the show, I feel like there would have been a for sure possibility for his card prices to see a rise had he played. But the fact that he's not going to play tells me as well that the NHL season start date might be a bit closer than we think so. I had the chance to listen to the Rangers GM, Jeff Gorton, his press conference, and he kind of alluded to that a little bit. And it's basically the same reasoning as why the Devils didn't want Jack Hughes to play. They want them to be NHL ready and not really risk injuries, but that's a good question, Mike. I mean, you know, that's the unknown. We'll never know what he would have done had he played.
Well, I think it's a COVID thing, right? Like if he gets COVID and he's playing with, you know, Team Canada, I think there's a lot of money involved, right? And they want to be ready. This year is different. I think it's still a COVID issue. If he catches COVID and he was out playing, you know, for Team Canada, yeah, it's cool for Canada, but it's, yeah, I kind of agree with Bird. I think if he did play, it would have been cool, especially if they won, there would be more attention on him. But if he doesn't play, I don't think it's going to make a big difference. There's not even that much time. I think he's going to start playing, and we're going to make a lot of money on his cards, potentially.
You know? I'm hoping so. I am definitely hoping so. In conversation with Mitch and Burr Bouchard from Red Cape Sports, you're listening to the Locked On NHL podcast, having a conversation about hockey cards. This is our monthly hockey card special. This is the special for the month of December. And what starts in December is the World Juniors. And although Lafreniere, Kako, also Hughes will not be going, there are some guys, believe it or not, who have their young guns already printed that will be going to the World Juniors. Just going to rattle off some of these names. Bowen Byram, Philip Broberg, Kirby Dock, who was in last year's set, Nick Robertson, and Peyton Krebs. What do you think that, you know, how beneficial could this tournament be for their cards that they will be in play? And are these guys who people should be going to pick up?
Listen, I've said multiple times, even last year, that I thought Kirby Dock would tear up the NHL at one given point. You know, I'm not saying he's already at superstar status, certainly not there. But I really, 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 really like Kirby Dock. Obviously, he was deserving of that top five. And I feel like, along with so much other talent on Team Canada, he's going to be putting up the numbers. And for those not from Canada who might not understand, how do I put this? This is bigger than Dunkin' Donuts. This is bigger than Sunday Night Football. Here in Canada, Boxing Day. Yeah, Boxing Day is a very big deal here in Canada because that's when Canada just dominates the World Juniors. And I mean, there's so much talent on the World Juniors, and whether it be kids in their basements playing mini sticks or just watching, it's life here in Canada. And I mean, Kirby Dock, I believe, is going to be one of the better goal scorers in the entire tournament. So yeah, right now I'm looking, as I switch it here to eBay, there's a recent sale for his Young Gun card, $36 Canadian. Obviously that's in the raw format. I feel like right now that's a pretty good pickup as is.
That's already going up, because I took a peek when I first knew that he was going to be at camp. I took a peek, and you could get his card for about 25 to 30 bucks. And now that's exceeded the $35 threshold. Yeah. So you're already seeing a jump in price. And that's just for him being, you know, at camp. Imagine if he goes out and he dominates and has a 5-point game, which is extremely common for people, you know, to dominate this tournament, especially somebody who played in the NHL last season. The amount of money that card could see an uptick, I could see that card raising to about $50 just based on that alone, his performance at the World Juniors.
Yeah, and really quick, before I let Mitch speak there as well, I believe at one point last year during the playoffs for a little bit, his card actually reached around $40, because I remember I was trying to pick it up and I was thinking, oh, you know what, I think it'll go down in the off season. So, you know, I hit the pause button, but just to let everyone know, you know, at $36, I feel like that's a really good buy right now.
Is he, would you say, maybe your number one add in terms of players who could?
Right now. Right now, only because I recently, this morning watching TSN, there was some doubt as to whether or not Nick Robertson would get called back to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And for that reason, that's why.
Do we all just get that random?
Yeah. That's why I kind of had to hiccup there.
I know. For those who aren't aware, stop speaking.
I'm still screen recording, like on QuickTime.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Yeah. That's fine. This is all staying in the podcast. I really don't, it doesn't matter. This is the beauty of podcasting compared to YouTube. People don't care. It's unfiltered. It's unedited. It's just great content. To peek behind the curtain, for those who aren't aware of why that was just an awkward pause and stop there, we just got a random notification. We're recording this off of Zoom. We got a random notification that like said, oh, your 40 minutes are about to expire. We're giving you a gift. We're going to lift your time limit. Keep going, essentially. It is just like you click love it and away we went. But by then we're all perplexed and like, what the hell is that all about? Yeah, no, to go off your points, I agree. I think Kirby Dock is definitely a player that you're going to want to go out and get. I think somebody else, too. Peyton Krebs, when his card was first, you know, out there, I think at $15 is what you can get it for right now. He's somebody who I could see dominating this tournament alongside Kirby Dock, and I could see that card doubling in price to about the $30, $35 range if he goes off. Bowen Byram, maybe, again, he's a defenseman, so you really never know how to go about investing in defensemen. I know we've talked about in the past how we think that they're, you know, kind of taking that next step, but at $25 for a guy who's never played a single shift in the NHL, might be a little too much to invest in. I don't know if the profit margins are there, but I do think that some of these players you can definitely invest in right now and within the next month be able to make a decent little profit.
for sure.
So you think $25 is a lot for a guy that hasn't played a shift? How's $400 for Lafreniere or $300, right? So,
yeah, no, I, yeah.
No, it's just amazing how many people that I've noticed even in other sports, they're like, you know, I've heard of Alexi. Like the fact that even I was willing to spend as much as I did on the card, that even tells me a lot, because that's the most I've ever paid for a player that I haven't gotten to see before. It was different when, you know, I could pay $5-$10 for a Zion rookie and they go up to $50 to $100 or more. But now you're getting a guy where, you know, $200-$300 into thousands you're hoping to project. So yeah, it's really interesting. I think this year is big. I think the market is honestly going to climb for many years. That's the way I see it, because it's not just that you can, it's not even the fact that the market's hot. Think about just in terms of Amazon and shipping cards. I was thinking about that the other day. You know, you couldn't ship as easily and as efficiently as you can today. Today, we're in an era where you can research quick. Technology in the mediums that we have, they're all bridging the gap together. They're synergizing. And I think it's really cool. I think people are going to be shocked how big this stuff's going to grow.
So it's funny, you mentioned about shipping. Do you guys want to see how I got a mail day today. A package came in. I made a nice little trade with a friend of mine on Facebook. Well, not a friend of mine, just somebody off of Facebook, which is a great place to meet people and get involved in the hobby and make trades and make sales. And, you know, there's tons of groups on Facebook that you can get involved in. But just take a look at how I received my package.
That's the worst shipment.
Hey, this is how I received it. It was inside of a bubbler, but like,
not, I mean,
I still got Gary on off.
It's not the worst way to receive it. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, it was Brayden Porianoff.
And Olofsson? Yeah. Was that the last one?
Yeah. Victor Olofsson. Yeah. It's not the worst way that I've seen things shipped, but it was definitely the oddest way that I've seen things shipped. Usually, slap it into a team bag and away you go.
Right, right.
Decided to just like tape them all down together for whatever reason.
But I mean, for everyone listening, if you're listening to this, if you guys know the brand Scotch Tape, don't buy it. Don't buy it. Yeah, like, I don't even care if that's how your wife goes about, wrapping Christmas gifts. Just don't support Scotch Tape. It murders sports cards.
I would also like to say, for those who are just listening to the podcast on the Locked On NHL podcast, and you have no idea what I just showed or the visual to it, go check it out. The visual, the podcast will be, the video will be up online. I'll be putting it up on Canadian Card Collecting up on YouTube. So make sure you go subscribe and you can get the visual aspect of this podcast there. Let's transition into our conversation about grading, because like I said earlier, I think that the grading landscape right now is wild. I see so many people looking to grade so many stupid things just because they're brand new to the hobby. And I think there's a big misconception about how you need to grade everything. Like, you get a card, you got to grade it because, you know, everything, once you grade it, it's worth five times the amount if you get a 9 or a 10. And let's be honest, that's not true, because there still needs to be a market for this stuff. And I don't know about you, but like a sixth year Sidney Crosby base card PSA 9 is not something that I care to have in my collection. And it costs you like $50 to grade it. It just doesn't make any sense. But you have so many people investing so much stupid money into grading right now because they think that's the way to go and that's the way to make money in this hobby. And I think that we need to have a conversation about that and what you should be grading upon. So Mitch, I'm going to start with you. What do you have to say about what I just said, and what are your thoughts on the grading, the whole grading in general?
Well, I think it's two things. I just went through this. I just made an entire box. Actually, I haven't shipped it yet. This is all going to come see. So these were cards that I deemed weren't going to grade high and weren't worth grading. And then I also made another box. I have several of these, but I have so many of these. These are cards that are worth grading. Cards that I went through. I think number one, you need patience and you need research. So again, we have cards that are worth grading. I've got,
we got there.
Jack Eichel. This one might not be worth grading, but Andrei Svechnikov.
100%.
And the main reason is because I did the research of all these players, and I think they're worth grading. You have to look at the value, go on eBay, go on ComC. Like, I think these cards are worth grading. You know, it's timing. It's, you know, Louis Robert. I think it's a card worth grading if you're going to time it and flip it at the right time. Again, Eric Pascal.
Pascal, from the Warriors.
But even, for example, because I've only been into the hobby, back into it for 2, maybe 3 years, I think Ja Morant, that's a card that wasn't worth grading when it first came out. 100% not. Now it's worth grading. If you get a high grade of, you know, Ja Morant, your Lucas, your anything Luca at this point, you should grade if it's in good condition.
I don't agree with that. Like, I don't agree with that. I think now we're coming into
rookies, I'm saying rookies.
Okay, rookies.
Anything rookie, or if it's an insert that is super rare or numbered. But
Short print.
Don't just grade, you know, 5th year, 10th year Kobe Bryant's because, you know, it's a big time card. Maybe in 100 years if the market's still hot. But
you know where I think things went sideways in the grading market? During the Jordan documentary, you saw base Jordan cards going for stupid money, and everybody from that era, and you just saw these like PSA 8s, you know, 6th year Jordan cards going for like $150, $200, $300 for some of this stuff. And people just automatically assumed, you know, like we were chatting before we hit record about PSA collector and some of the stuff that he grades. And it's just, I don't agree with it myself. I think that grading these, you know, third and fourth year, like Luca this year, grading a 3rd year Luca optic base card. No. Why are you going to do that? Even a 2nd year card, I think, is silly to do. We have so many people now who think that it's going to happen. I saw somebody, to get back to hockey cards, I saw somebody, because they're so new to collecting, and they even say it, you know, on the group, you know, hey, new to collecting, just bought myself a hockey blaster, got this rookie card, should I grade it? It was a Nick Robertson jumbo rookie card. The thing is worth 3 cents. Yeah. No, you should not grade that thing because it's going to cost you $50.
Yep. Yeah, I think the main thing out of that is grade good players, their rookie cards, if they're in good condition. It's pretty simple. You know, like grade the first year card. If it's, you know, Michael Jordan is a little bit different, but maybe 2nd year Michael Jordan or a very cool insert, but not 8th year Shaqs and all this stuff. Like, no, get his rookie card, you know?
Yeah, I mean, for me, what it all comes down to is you need to be doing research. Like, so many people think, hey, you know what, I'm going to get into hockey cards because I can make money easily. But if it were easy and if you could get rich quick, there would be so many people doing it, right? It's the same thing as getting in shape. It's like, if it were easy, I would be ripped right now, you know? But it's not easy. With that being said as well, Mike absolutely nailed it, right? Like he absolutely hit the nail on the head when he said, be selective on what you grade. For example, if even Young Guns, right? So even if it's a rookie that receives a really good grade, right now, you know, I need to think of a player on the top of my head, but
this one, I literally just grabbed this. I will not be grading this. This is Nicholas Bodan. He's a defenseman for the Chicago Blackhawks. This is a card that may be worth $3 to $5 right now,
and you're gonna spend $50 just to grade it, and then it's not worth that, and then you're not going to have supply and demand is a real thing. Economics, basic economic rules are so important. You know, and
it used to be, because that's starting to change.
I think a big issue is a lot of people coming into the hockey market now are coming from football, and I've been looking at ComC a lot, and if you just type in Mahomes RC for rookie card, that's what the RC stands for, you'll basically see the cheapest card, which is Score, which I don't really collect, and in a raw format it's $175. But the thing is, not everyone's going to be Patrick Mahomes first and foremost, and the hockey market compared to NBA and NFL, it's not even close. Like, now you're comparing apples to oranges. So honestly, you can buy Raw and flip Raw and make some good money. You know, I'm a lover of ComC. So ComC is a website, comc.com. Check out my cards. And you can purchase Raw and obviously graded too. And then you can flip Raw. And I'm meeting in the matter of hours. I told Mitch last night, you know, I purchased a Justin Herbert for $30. And literally like 6 hours later, someone purchased it for like 47 or something like that. And then I used that profit and I went out and started delegating it into other cards that I also believe will go up. And I also purchased a Kirby DAC. So that's a way of still investing. Like, you know, when we speak about grading, there's so many grading companies as well. And that's where I kind of want to get your guys' thoughts. Right now, I feel like PSA is king. And I understand that there's a lot of people saying, oh, you know, PSA isn't necessarily doing a good job on A, turnaround time, and B, they're not doing a good job on the grades that they're handing out.
Yeah, well, that's not false information. Like, the turnaround times are – you're paying for a 30-day service, and it's taking them 6 months.
I've been waiting for two shipments for months.
Yeah.
Like that's number one. What bothers me about grading right now is you're paying for a service that they're not even giving you. They know that they can't give it to you and they're unwilling to do the discount.
Right.
And it's because everybody is grading. And because everybody's grading everything, it's put the price of grading so high. They've gotten to the point where they're like, we can't afford to only you know, grade cards at $20 anymore. Now it costs you $50 per card just to try and weed out some people from sending right. in products.
So one more quick thing, and Mitch, I swear I will let you talk here, but I feel like this is so important to say. A lot of people want to grade to maximize their profits for something like the World Juniors or for playoffs. But if you buy Raw, flip Raw, you don't have to wait. Your card and your money isn't tied up, right? Like so many people, let's say for football. Basically, if you wanted to grade football and hope that, you know, let's say Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers make playoffs. Well, even if you sent that off in week one, you might not be getting that back. Now you missed your window of opportunity.
Well, here's a perfect example. Mitch, you got really big into the Pokemon scene. Did you send any of that off for grading?
Yeah, I did. And I'm waiting on, actually, I want to do an episode on it, but I haven't received in its PSA's fault. I haven't received it back, but I graded 5 very rare Pokemon cards. And it cost me a lot to grade it, but I did have a good deal at the time. But unfortunately, I've been waiting forever because the market's high and I'm afraid it's going to go back down. Anyways, I graded three shadowless red cheek Pikachus. I'm talking about, I have like $5,000 to $10,000 worth of cards. I have a Tyler Hero card, Prism, Fast Break, looks like a 10. What if that comes back? But I'm waiting, right? I think it's a timing thing. But yeah, Pokemon has exploded more than sports cards, I would say.
But the point that I was going to make there was, how much money do you think you've lost because the market's already taken a bit of a hit since it did a month ago of you just waiting to get those cards back?
Yeah, I would be upset if it would take forever. But to be honest, the Pokemon play, I was hoping to buy these cards for, you know, $3 to $10, turn them into like $100 down the road. But now they went from, you know, $3 to $10 to literally $500 to $1,000 a piece. So I'm okay on that. I don't think they'll go back down soon. But yeah, I mean, the fact that I'm waiting, you know, an extra 3, 4, 5 months, I may miss out on a big investment. And I had to pay for it. So yeah, it's a whole topic in itself. I think PSA is gonna figure it out. Obviously they sold for $700 million or something ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous. I think who did I see was part of it? There was an athlete who was part of the sale, and I can't remember right now. Do you guys remember?
Honestly, I just saw the number, and I hate to say it, but I completely headline read. I didn't read the story.
I didn't read it.
I can't remember, but there was some athlete who's like an avid card grader who was part of the sale.
Okay.
But I think one of the other issues that people have with grading, that I kind of have with grading, which I think you guys will agree with me, is that there's so much inconsistency that, you know, the credibility for a lot of these companies are kind of starting to go out the wayside. We briefly touched on it with Lafreniere, how these rounded corners are somehow getting 9-5 on the corners, and it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think there's one big thing, and if you run any kind of business at all, you would know that. One dangerous thing in a business is exponential growth. You know, then you have to hire too many employees. It's not the model itself, it's the volume, right?
For sure.
So the fact that they're growing so rapid, like look at their stock. I believe it's CCLT. They grade coins and all the cards for PSA. Their stock went from $20 about 6 to 8 months ago. Now they're at like 80, 90. That's huge growth, right? And you're talking about like a growth company like Amazon. Amazon's able to keep up with it. Maybe Amazon should start grading cards, you know? I think the volume is so big. I think they are overwhelmed with what's going on. And I think they just need to hire out more, and it's going to take time. I think we're going to be backed up for 2 years. That's my prediction. We're not going to be able to get cheap economy shipping for 2 years. PSA.
Yeah, and I think that's why I'm starting to see, and I think I see this a little bit more in Pokemon Group, so you might be able to speak to this a little bit more, Mitch. Mm-hmm. But because of the wait times in places like PSA and BGS, I'm seeing a lot more Canadians starting to venture into Mint. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I sent Bert a message the other night, and especially in terms of shipping cards and being able to transact, and you also have Facebook groups, which I'm part of a couple of amazing Facebook groups, even if I could pull one up. There's one that I love. Anyways, it's like a TCG Pokemon group.
Canadian All-Stars or something like that. I'm on it too.
Yeah. I've made really good connections with that. I'm really considering Mint because the only difference is the fact that you can grade Mint, I know they look good. They look similar to like BGS. And I think maybe it's people like us on YouTube that will make that trend, you know? I think there's a big gap and a big opportunity. I was talking about it with Bird. If we start showing Mint, if people start grading Mint, that trend is going to explode. It's like any other thing in life. I think Pokemon Mint could be a big thing, and maybe we could be some of the people to start that.
I think hockey cards have a really big opportunity to try and help Mint. Like it's a Canadian company, right? And there's not many, you know, natural Canadian companies, especially in the grading world. Like both Beckett and PSA are both American-based companies, which is why I think a lot of Canadians are really starting to support the local economy and try and support Mint. And the biggest reason why you'll get flack about it for a lot of investor-type people is because, you know, when it comes to maximizing on your profits, your potential, you're really only going to be able to sell to fellow Canadians because Americans are only going to be looking to get PSA and PSA.
Not anymore.
You don't think?
Changing. No, because I bought Kobe Bryant's a long time ago. I got two mints. I paid $100 each for them. Sold one of them for $480. Not much different than the PSA at the time. I think people just want the authentication. For example, a Charizard, especially getting into Pokemon, people are going to pay similar between a PSA 3 and 4. They just want it authenticated, right? So the market wants what it wants right now, but it could change.
My thing with both those examples are those are older, more vintagey cards, right? The Charizard, for example. In the case of Austin Matthews, let's say a more expensive card in Connor McDavid. Right now, a Connor McDavid PSA 10, the last time I looked, it was fetching right around $1,500, $1,600. If you look at SGC or SGC or even Mint, it's considerably lower. And as I watch Mike, I'm sure he'll bring up the prices there, which is awesome. But it again comes down to supply and demand. It is awesome. If you receive a mint 9-5 or a mint 10 even, it's like, cool, you know, you got a good grade. But then you have to find a buyer for that. And that's where, to me, it gets a bit tricky. I think it's much easier with a rare card that Gary V and Logan Paul and so many other YouTubers have been pumping up. But right now, in, you know, again, because this is a hockey podcast, I think with hockey, mint will eventually get there, but right now, if you have a McDavid, a Matthews, a McKinnon, whatever it might be, you know, and especially with there being lower pop reports for cards like Nathan McKinnon, I really think if I'm a buyer, I'm going to look at the PSA much you know, longer than I look and even consider buying an off brand.
Yeah, but what we're saying is that it's going to change. And
right. So how long are you willing to wait? That's all.
If you're going to have to wait a year to get a card, you're going to buy elsewhere, right? If you're not going to be able to grade, if you're going to have to pay $50 for these new, if you want to grade a Kirby Dak, if he starts exploding, if you want to grade Lafreniere, I mean, you're going to have to pay a lot of money to get PSA. And if it gets even worse, some people might want to go elsewhere. I mean, look how many companies there are. But yeah, I mean, I agree though, in the sense that Beckett, BGS and PSA, that's where the market's at.
Yeah.
PSA has got a lot of oomph to it right now. Right now it's, I agree. But will it change? I don't know. What do you think, Mike? Do you think it'll change in even 5 years? Like how big?
I think that's the conversation that we're having now. I think we're trying to figure that out, if it will change. And, you know, the fact that we're even having this conversation, three avid collectors who are interested in investing and making profits in sports cards, and we're actually debating, should we send our stuff to Mint? I would imagine we're not the only ones.
Right.
Which means there's got to be some people looking to do it. And if that's the case, people are eventually going to send it off, especially if these turnaround times don't quicken it at BGS and at Beckett. You know, Mint, I had a buddy literally send it off 2 weeks ago and he got it back. Within 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I know Ja Morant, I've got like 20, 30 of his cards. I got Zion cards. I've been wanting to sell them this year. I might have to grade elsewhere, you know, because these cards are worth considerably more graded than raw. Yeah. I would sell them raw, but I already have my COMC for that because I know they're not going to be 10s. I don't want to sell my raw card that could be a 10 and when I could get twice as much for it, even if I don't grade a PSA. So that's, yeah, I'm rattled.
In terms of hockey, so you brought up Connor McDavid, and there's actually no sales of a Connor McDavid mint card, but well, there were sales of an Austin Matthews. So a BGS Austin Matthews 9.5 went for about $450, and a mint 9.5 went for $390. So you're looking at like a $70 difference between the two cards. So I guess you just got to make your decision, which, you know, do you want to get the cards back faster or do you want to open up, you know, I think it's more of a long-term. If it's a long-term investment, maybe PSA, you could go with BGS, but if it's short-term and you want to move it, you know, soon, like the playoffs are a month away or something like that, you send it off to Mint so you can capitalize it during the playoffs.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. I feel like Mint aesthetically, it looks great. I feel they're quick. I feel like they are reputable. I have yet to see something like I've seen with Zion Williamson. I have seen Zion Williamson PSA 10s, and I kid you not, you got 85% of the card shifted off to the left. The centering is nowhere near what I sent off. You know, it doesn't even matter. It's just the consistency there, like Mitch said, you know, when you grow so quick, then you need to hire people. And, you know, are these people then taking their job seriously? I feel like a company at Mint, there's got to be less than 100 employees there who all, you know, love their job and take it so serious. So, you know, I feel like there are a lot of benefits. My next question, though, is I feel like Mint can do really well for hockey. Can Mint do really well for basketball and football? That, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think it'll do as well. Like I said, I think hockey it'll do well because hockey traditionally is you know, Canadians gravitate to hockey, and knowing that Mint is a Canadian service, I think that they'll be okay with it supporting local. Whereas when it comes to football and basketball, it's traditionally more so dominated by Americans, the hobby, and they are 100% looking for PSA. Yeah. Mainly PSA, like 90% PSA, and they'll settle for BGS. And most people probably wouldn't even look at a mint graded card right now. That could change.
Yeah.
But right now, I don't think that, you know, some guy in Texas is going to be willing to you know, buy an Ezekiel Elliott rookie card graded by Mint, he would much rather a PSA 10 than a yes. Mint 10.
Yeah, so. Like I know even for myself, I have two Ronald Acuna cards that I bought a while ago, like I would say a year ago. And I got two Mint cards that are 9.5s. They're nice. But again, in my PC, I decided to keep the Beckett one. So, yeah, like even for me, I like Beckett probably the most. I might be biased because of the subgrades. But, yeah, it's going to take a lot for Mint to grow.
Of the four, I would say, the three major ones, BGS, Mint, and SGC, one that we haven't really mentioned. But
never understood SGC. I do not like the look.
So, but of those, including Mint, if you had to rank them 1 through 4 of your personal preference, not just based on sellability, but in terms of credibility for consistency and also the look of the graded card, how would you rank them 1 through 4?
Oh, I guess I'll start there.
Yeah.
Honestly, Mint looks great. And correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but I do believe that they also do subgrades.
They do.
I believe so, right? So with that being said, it looks great. And the casing's great. Even the way that you can kind of stack them up on top of each other looks great. I would actually put that number one. PSA, which is funny because I love collecting PSA, doesn't really look that great. Like, it just doesn't. It's, especially if you get a card with a lot of writing on that white label, it looks really weird. BGS looks nice, especially if you're lucky enough to win the lottery with a black label. You know, I'll probably never get one a day in my life until I die.
Oh, but you might. You'll get one.
We'll see, right?
Hey, get yourself an 8th-year Sidney Crosby upper deck base.
Low-hanging fruit.
Black label 10. You could probably pick it up for like $800.
That's just it. And honestly, I feel like more so than even ranking these, there still needs to be conversation over, don't just, like, I don't know. I feel like if you have $20, $20 is still $20. $20 can make you a lot of money. So just to go out and say, you know, I'm going to buy this 9th-year, Patrick Mahomes cards when it gets to that, or whoever it might be, this 9th-year Donovan McNabb, a guy who had a decent career but he's retired. Like, why are you grading that card? Like, yeah. I just don't get it. And like, where's the market for that? Okay, Philadelphia right now, but I mean, the man's not even playing. Like, realistically, how many people awake right now have Donovan McNabb on their mind? So like, why are you grading that? I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
We need your top list.
Rank your top four there, Mitch?
Okay, well, I did like PSA at first, but once I graded BGS and I held them against each other, Beckett with subgrades is number one in my opinion. Number two is PSA. Although, anyways, sometimes I had one that fell apart. The glue fell off, so I don't know. So Beckett subgrade, PSA 2, Beckett with no subgrade, and then Mint. That's how I feel.
I hate Beckett no subgrade. I think it doesn't look good. If you're going to go Beckett, you got to get subgrade.
You go Beckett. That's what I feel like. Right?
That's the benefit to Beckett, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think it looks good and it's protected well. It's got some bulk to it. But yeah, maybe Mint. I would maybe put Mint 3rd or 4th. It's similar.
So. And then SGC coming in last for you.
I would never do SGC. Not a fan.
What's up with SGC? Why don't you like SGC?
Because it looks like I made it. It looks like I graded the card. I'm sorry. It looks like, I don't know. It looks like I hired somebody and it was their first day.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan. I don't care. CEO of SGC, I'm not interested.
It's SGC is not a brand that people are sending their hockey cards to anyways. It's pretty well Mint, Beckett, and Beckett's king, I would think, for hockey cards, to be honest with you, and PSA coming in second when it comes to hockey. But for me, I think also Beckett with subgrades is the nicest looking slab out there by far, not even close. The only reason why Beckett, you don't see more of it, is just because PSA is king in America and PSA gets you more return when you go to turn around to sell those cards. It's the only reason why PSA gets the notoriety that it does. Because you're right, it's kind of ugly looking. Like, it's just a label that's typed out, you know, as opposed to, you look at Beckett, that's beautifully, like, carved in gold. It's great.
It's that nice little like, nameplate as well. It's got a bit of a shine to it. It's not just that piece of paper. And I have seen several cards where... And I get it. The cases are supposed to be like life proof, but I have seen several where they're wrinkled and they got like water stains on them. Yeah. And when I put that on my display, it just looks bad.
It looks like a trophy. A BGS card looks like a trophy.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, you're getting, obviously the subgrades communicates a deeper message. You're like, oh yeah, I got the one. Like, I have an Austin Matthews that has two tens in the subgrades. Like, it's a 9.5 with two tens. And I'm like, whoa, like, people take that serious, by the way, right?
Oh,
like, real collectors, huge. Like, somebody messaged me. They're like, I don't want your card. It doesn't have a 10 subgrade. I'm like, what? It's whatever. But Kirby Dak, I'm looking at his eBay Young Gun card. Because there's so much red, if you have a card with red in the jersey or the card's red, that makes the card look good in PSA.
Right? Oh, hanging fruit.
No, but for real, though, like, if – colors matter on a card too. If you have red, like if you have a Patrick Mahomes red PSA, that might look better aesthetically than a BGS subgrade because you have so much red in there. It contrasts nice.
So. Yeah, so that's not a bad point too. Yeah. All right, man. I think we'll leave it there. That was a good conversation. That was a fun roundtable, and I think we talked. You know, I think we did a pretty well-rounded conversation where we talked about some of the bad things about grading, some of the good things about grading. We talked about some of the companies that we prefer, which we don't prefer. It was a pretty good conversation. We could probably just snipe that and use that as a whole episode in itself, just a whole grading conversation. And maybe we could do it again some other time and go even more deep into it. Cause I feel like most collectors could sit there and have a conversation about grading for hours. Just hours, just talking cards and grading. And it's just, it's crazy. It's fun, man. It's a hobby. It's a passion. We all love it. And thanks guys for joining me. It was a good conversation. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for having us.
100%.
That will do it for us here today on the podcast. I'd like to thank you all for supporting and listening to the show. You could subscribe to the Locked On NHL podcast on all podcasts and platforms. Receive daily hockey content. Follow myself on Twitter at Mickey_Canuck. Follow the show at Locked On NHL. Where can they find your guys' social media?
Right now I'm on Twitter, Bird_Bouchard. And then you can also, hey, you know, we got to give a shout out there, Mitch. And you guys can also follow our free Facebook page or group rather at Red Cape Sports.
And obviously
the Red Cape Sports YouTube channel, which I thought Mitch would have jumped on that one.
Yeah. Head over to Red Cape Sports YouTube.
What do you guys got coming out this week?
I have no idea. No, we're doing another buy, sell, hold. People are enjoying those. So,
basically, Jeff.
So we pick out, you know, three different players, and then we have to pick whether we want to buy, sell, or hold that card.
Maybe you'll have to do a hockey edition sometime.
We should.
All right. If you guys want some more hockey talk, be sure to check out this podcast each and every day of the week. On Monday, there'll be another episode. I believe Sarah Avampato will be back with you guys. Until then, keep it locked right here on the Locked On NHL podcast.